A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I am talking to you parents, especially parents who have an athlete that does not want your help. You might know that a little bit of confidence training, a little bit of mental training would be a complete game changer for your athlete. If they could just see what you see, if they could believe in themselves, if they could have the confidence that they deserve to have, they would be incredible. But they resist your help. They resist mental training. They resist talking about it. This is for you. I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to best support your athlete, even if they're massively resistant. Welcome to the Perform Happy Podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sports success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Resistant to mental training? If so, you are definitely not alone. And I have a question this week from a parent who has already started into the videos, the online trainings that I offer, and is seeing massive value, but then she's got this stubborn, resistant athlete. So I'm going to give some tips on how to help an athlete who does not want to be helped. My name is Coach Rebecca Smith. I am the founder and director of Complete Performance Coaching. We specialize in one-on-one coaching for young athletes around the topics of fear, anxiety, confidence building, recovery from injury, basically sports psychology. And then my pet project that I just love that's growing like crazy is this community called Perform Happy. And it is a complete online mental toughness training center for young athletes and their families. And so I have one member here who asked a question. Her name is Lauren. Hi, Lauren. She says, "I'm really enjoying your videos from a parent point of view and have really learned a lot. Thank you so much. I just wanted to ask your advice regarding my daughter. She's very stubborn and has watched a couple of videos, but she says it makes me worse and now won't watch them. I know if she does, it will really help her. Do you have any advice you can give me to help her understand that this is a good thing to help her progress?" So yes, first of all, Lauren, this is totally normal. I did an informal poll with the members of my live training. So every week in the community, I do a live group training on Wednesday nights. And then I do sort of every other Sunday, and I'm looking forward to adding other days so that people can make sure and get a live training every week. But I did an informal poll and I said, okay, raise your hand if when your mom mentioned Perform Happy to you, you were like, yes, I want to do that. Nobody, maybe one. But for the most part, they were like, what are you talking about, mom? That's weird. I'm not sure. And then mom was like, just try it. Just humor me and try it. And then they did. And they showed up live and they fell in love with each other. I mean, there's such a beautiful, cohesive group of primarily gymnasts. We've got some figure skaters. We have some other sport athletes in there too. But they are this amazing group of kids who just adore each other. They're all either coming out of mental blocks, they're rebuilding their confidence after injury or anxiety, or they're just there to sharpen their mental skills. And every single one of them was skeptical at first because they're like, what is this thing that my mom wants me to try? This is so weird, that she found on Facebook. Are you kidding me? And they tried it. And they stuck around and now they're seeing massive results. So Lauren, you are not alone in that your kid thinks this is weird and also that she thinks it makes her worse. Okay, so I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm also going to give you some tips on how to help motivate somebody who's not motivated to help themselves. Of course, you know, we're not in the coercion game here, but I can give you some helpful tips. So here, first of all, are the reasons why it might feel worse once you start digging into the solution around something. So when somebody's struggling with a mental block or a fear, they often think it's random. They think, out of the blue, I all of a sudden couldn't do my skill anymore. This is horrible. Why is this happening to me? I just want to do my skill and get on with my life. They don't want to fix it. They don't want to talk to somebody. They just want their skills back and they want them back immediately. Okay. So that's where that athlete is at. Then their parents like, oh my gosh, I found the solution. This lady went through the same thing and she helps people with this. This is what she does. She has a podcast. I've listened to her. She's great. You're going to love her. And the kid's like, ugh, whatever. Okay. And then kid's like, well, yeah, she does kind of sound like me. Sure. I'll try it. And then the first video of the Start Here module of the Overcoming Fear course says, hey, guess what? You're going to feel uncomfortable because change is uncomfortable. And anytime that your brain senses that there's the risk of change, it starts to go on the defensive because it's a lot easier to keep running the same programs, seeing the world through the same filter, expecting the same results from a brain standpoint. It's a lot easier to do that than to learn to see the world in a new way. That's risky as far as the brain is concerned. The brain likes the body temperature to stay the same, the blood pressure to stay the same. It's fueled on everything staying the same. That's what your brain wants so that your body stays alive. And if things start to get different, your brain starts to go, whoa, 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 this can't be good. If you go and exercise harder than you usually do, you get the alarm bell. Stop, stop, stop. This isn't good. This is not good. Stop. Because your body's changing. Your muscles are getting stronger. Your heart is getting stronger. Your lungs are getting stronger. But all your brain sees is this is not good. This is change. Don't do it. So even though it's good for you, it doesn't feel good all the time because of your brain's tendency to want to avoid change. Okay, then once they acknowledge, all right, it might be uncomfortable, but I want this. I want my confidence back. I want to live up to my full potential. I will do this. I'll hang out with this weird lady online and I'll give it a try. Then they realize the fear is not actually random. There are certain things that lead to it that you are in control of as the athlete. And this is almost bad news for some people because if it's random and you don't have control, then, oh, well, oh my gosh, it's somebody else's fault. Poor me. Hopefully it will randomly magically fix itself. But if you're able to look back at your own personal domino effect and go, oh, it was this. Oh, it was that. Oh, it was that practice where I didn't do the right thing. Oh, I have some responsibility here, which the good news is you have power and you can get through it and you can prevent it in the future. But sometimes it's hard to take responsibility. It's a lot easier to be like, no, it's random. It's randomly going to come. The lights are going to turn back on and I'm going to be fine. And so, of course, it's the path of least resistance. And I can tell you, when you do this work, you will change. You will change for the better. You will build your confidence. You will get a new strategy for living. But it's the brain doesn't necessarily want to do that. And also the final reason why it might feel worse before it feels better is because you become aware. Before, you're just subconsciously sort of going through life, going through practice, and you don't know what's working and what's not working. But when you become aware, you start to go, oh, I'm doing that thing again. Oh, I'm being really negative to myself right now. Oh my gosh, why am I being so mean to myself? And it doesn't feel good, but you haven't got the tools yet to stop it from happening. Because that's the first phase in any mental training, is that you become aware. And if you're not aware of yourself, you can't change. So you start to sort of have that Adam and Eve moment where you're like, oh boy, I am doing this. I am involved in this. This is partially because of how I'm behaving and I'm showing up, even though I mean, you know, of course these are good kids. They're not like intentionally trying to be in this position. They have certain things that they are not good at, like maybe communicating, being nice to themselves, that they have to learn before they can get to the other side. So I say in that first video, stick with it, do the whole thing. Do the whole thing and then you will get the results. It's not going to make you worse. It's going to make you aware. Then it's going to make you change. Then it's going to make you better. And if you want to get better, then you have to take those steps in between. You know, that children's book of you can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it, gotta go through it. You have to walk into your fear step by step by step by step, guided with purpose, getting uncomfortable in a measured and manageable way. And then on the other side is your confidence. And on the other side, you look back and go, oh my gosh, I did it. You know, those moments when you've been working your butt off for a new skill or even an old skill. And then you finally get it and you're like, oh, that wasn't so hard. But you have to look back and give yourself credit for all the work and all the baby steps and all the discomfort that you've weathered to get there. So that's why it feels worse. This is totally normal. Anybody who has started into the course and gone, ah, I don't like this. Good. You're in the right place. And that's why we got to commit. You got to commit right first thing. That's the first video. I'm like, if you cannot commit to this, do not watch any more videos. You know, if you're not willing, then don't. Okay. So now here are the reasons why people don't want help when they are legitimately struggling or seeing that they're not living up to their potential. Number one is denial. They just can't see it. They're like, I don't know. They want to blame, you know, lack of self-awareness is number two. Like I already mentioned, if you don't know what's happening, you cannot fix it. And then number three is shame. A lot of people feel like I'm a bad person because their identity is linked up with their performance. And if they're not performing well, they are not okay. And the last thing they want is to shine any light on that deep secret of, I am not okay. I'm broken. I'm not good. No matter how hard I try, I'm just not good enough. And I can relate to this on a really deep level. That you don't want help if it's going to require exposing the fact that you feel like you're not good.
Hey guys, quick announcement break. Right now, we at Complete Performance Coaching are looking for 5 athletes who are ready to break through their mental blocks for good. If that sounds like you or your child, then sign up for a free consultation call with one of my amazing coaches as soon as possible to see if you're a good fit for our Perform Happy Elite training program. This program includes one-on-one coaching with the world's top mental performance coaches, plus tons of support for athletes and their parents in between sessions. You can sign up today at completeperformancecoaching.com/consult. Talk to you soon.
And by saying, okay, I want to get through this. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I want my skills back for good. I want my confidence. I want my happiness back. I want my joy. There has to be this ability to go, all right, I'm willing to be honest with myself. I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to get uncomfortable. Let's do this. So any pushback is so normal, you guys. This is stuff like I don't do this work so that gymnastics scores get higher. I'm not about that. Like, I love that. I want people to succeed, but I say it all the time. This is not about you winning the state meet, even though yes, like go win the state meet. That'd be awesome. This is about when you're up against fear in relationships as an adult, when you're up against fear about getting a promotion or being good enough to go for a job, or you're up against not believing in yourself in college. You have the tools. You can go into that discomfort and you can just baby step into it and go, I'm going to be okay. I've done it before. I can do it again. Fear will not take me down. That's what I really want. And I have been through the discomfort to know it is so, 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 so worth it. Okay. So I took the informal poll. All the kids in the live trainings didn't want to be there. They showed up, they clicked in. And now they are thriving. You know, many of these kids are really thriving and they're making slow progress, but slow, steady, lasting progress. And it is so amazing and powerful to watch. So my recommendation is to get your athlete onto the live training because that's where they get to be with, you know, 25 kids who are in their exact same boat, who are dealing with the exact same nerves or mental block, but then there's also the kids who've been there a while who are doing their skills and they're sharing and they're like, it's not that hard, you guys. I just did it. And here's how. And you know, they feel like I just randomly did it. I'm like, no. Let's talk about what you've been doing for the last couple months. You've earned this. And we get to give them a pat on the back and we get to celebrate together. So then I asked, there's a private Facebook group for the parents in the community, because it's so necessary to be able to support, you know, each end of the equation here. We've got the kids on one side, Perform Happy is all about them. They've got the courses, the live trainings, and then we've got the parents group where they can come together. And so I did another informal poll and said, hey, if your kids were not into it at first, what did you do? How did you get them interested? And so Lori said, I just tried to explain the benefits based on the videos that I watched and how so many professional athletes do this on a regular basis. I think she thought it was a little strange at first, but decided to try it. Now, my teenage son is a bit harder. He will do it, but he always resists it when I ask him to try to do it more often with his tennis. Okay, so resistance is normal, especially with teenagers when they're from the age of 12 to 18. Your actual job is to push away from your parents and go from needing their help for your survival to being independent. And so part of their developmental task is to resist you, no matter what it is. They're doing it for practice so that finally, I think by the time they're 17, you're like, get out, or you would never let them go, right? You'd be like, oh, they're my favorite little person. Don't ever go. You're like, no, you can go. It's developmental. It has to happen that way, or you would never let them go. I know with, you know, my little one, I cannot even imagine sending her out into the world, but I'm sure by 17, I'll be like, bye-bye. I love you. Call me later. So the key is that you allow them to develop internal motivation around it. So we get them to the first live training, and then they've got to develop their own internal motivation. And so whether you're trying to get motivated to do mental training or to do your sport or to do your job or whatever, there are three essential ingredients to becoming internally motivated. So you can bribe them to the first training, but then they're going to have to take it on themselves. So the three things are autonomy, mastery, and desire. Okay, so autonomy. There was a study done on a tech company, Atlassian, I believe it was, where they gave their employees 24 hours and said, you can do whatever you want. Full creative license. You can start a brand new project. You can do whatever you want for 24 hours and then just report back and let us know what you did. And in those 24 hours, there were the most creative, the most lucrative ideas that had ever been created in that company. And so they added this into part of their business model, was giving their employees autonomy, the ability to work on whatever they wanted. So here's what I recommend within the community. If she doesn't want to do the fear course, let her start with mental toughness bootcamp. Let her take the superhero confidence challenge. Let her do the meditations or visualize. Give her, you know, let her know, okay, we're doing this. This is part of our training, but you get to pick. You know, do you want to do live training and not do anything else? Do you want to do the courses and not go on the live training? That's why there's so many options, because that way they get to be autonomous. This is your deal. We're doing it on the way to gym every Monday in the car. You pick. I don't care what you do. Just do something. And then if you give them that, then they're going to start to see the benefits. So something that will also create autonomy is to visualize their success often. And I have that worked in so that in a lot of trainings we do, they're seeing themselves being successful. They're having that experience of, oh my gosh, I just saw what it could be like in a year. That felt great. Okay, I want to do this. And then they have this good experience. Also, to get the autonomy built, you want to remind them that they're capable. You can get through this. I believe in you. You got this. Just reminding them you have what it takes. You can handle a little discomfort. I know you can. And then be optimistic. Optimism is one of the key ingredients for getting through fear. Optimism from all angles. And then also another thing that builds autonomy is an environment where they can cooperate with others. So that's when they're all brainstorming. We go, okay, this is the issue that Susie's having on Beam. Has anyone been there? They're like, oh yeah, we all have. What did you guys do? And then they go in the chat and they're like, I think about my favorite ice cream flavor. Oh, I put on goggles that make the beam seem lower. They have all these amazing ideas where they're collaborating, and then people go and they try them and then they work and then they come up with new ones and we share them. And then also when there's challenge or some kind of competition, especially among our athletes, that can really help people to feel autonomous. And so I am actually upgrading all of the membership site. Like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So it's basically going to be a big video game where you start on one, you go through the next, you get points, you get badges, and you can see who's where. So you can kind of keep up with your friends along the path. And that alone will help to keep people kind of moving. Like, oh, just get another one. You got, you know, like then you're done with this module. That, you know, psychology has dictated that just giving a little bit of a challenge and a little bit of competition can help to keep the attitude up. So that is rolling out in like a week and a half. I'm like really, really, really excited about it. And it's gonna be so pretty and fun. So then finally, challenging goals. And then for you parents, praise the progress, the attitude, and the self-awareness. You know, there's a couple of girls who are really active in the forums. There's an Ask Rebecca forum where people can just keep me up to date, ask me questions, and then I coach them personally. And they're saying things like, I had a terrible day on vault, but this is what I learned. And I know that if I do this tomorrow, it's going to be better. And I didn't cry and I'm getting better. And they, you know, I look at that like, oh my gosh, what a success. She's seeing her progress on a bad day. And she's seeing how she's getting better. And therefore, she's opening herself up to real success. Like, oh, it's so good. All right. So now, mom, here are some top tips for you. And then I'll wrap up. Number one, remember, this is her journey. Okay. So my goal actually also with this new rollout of the community is to support parents so much that if the kids don't even ever log in, you, the mom, are going to be happy. You're going to be so at peace knowing that your kid's fine. So I'm bringing in a nutritionist in the next month. I'm bringing in a parenting coach who's going to talk about exactly how to set up really great conversations with your teens, how to have family meetings. I'm bringing in experts that can support me in supporting you, the parent, so that all these questions you can ask directly to an expert so that your cup is going to be full. And then when your kid is being, you know, annoying, irritating, resistant, they're being adolescent slash teenagers, you're going to be fine knowing that this is her journey. And then you'll be able to prepare the ground for a good conversation with good questions. You're going to be listening with an open heart. You're going to have clear boundaries. You're going to give them appropriate information when it is appropriate. And there's also a course in there that's just for parents on how to know where your kid is at as far as their willingness to approach change and how to listen, how to empathize correctly in these tough conversations. Just understanding that your kid does not want to change because she's human. That can be really useful. Also, we learn how to listen without creating power struggles, how to rebuild trust in a situation where maybe you've like flown off the handle a few times and the kid just does not want to talk to you. And also, you know, if you're not the person, if you're the person who gets really frustrated with your kid, maybe your spouse is a little bit more patient. Maybe their coach or their sibling or their cool aunt. Maybe there's somebody else who would be the person to talk to them about it. That's something that you might want to be honest with yourself about. And then just know the right and wrong time to bring it up. If your kid just got in the car, they're in tears because they're struggling, that is not the time to say, you know, you really should log in and do some mental training. Even though it feels like the appropriate time, that is not the time. That is the time to go, oh, honey, I love you. I'm so sorry you had a tough day. And that's it. That's it. Because they do not want coaching. They do not want criticism. It feels like criticism. They want a hug and they want food and they want to go to bed and they don't want to talk about it. And then the next day when things are okay, that's when you ask the right questions. You pave the way. You encourage them to trust you. And then you might say, hey, let's come up with a time where we can just do this every week. You get to pick what you do. Let's just get it on the schedule, you know? And then whatever. If you finish a course, we get ice cream. Like, I'm not opposed to like little bribes to make somebody better themselves. So don't do it at the wrong time when you're tired, when you're mad, when they're tired, when they're mad, when there's a bunch of their friends around or a bunch of family around, or when you've been arguing or by text. Like none of those are the right time to have the conversation. So just make sure that it's setting you up for success. So for anybody who's interested, who's not already a member, get on the waiting list at performhappy.com if you're interested, because we're going to be opening the doors and accepting a few more families right after Labor Day pretty soon. So I'm not exactly sure when we're going to open the doors, but if you want to be the first to know, get on that waiting list, performhappy.com. If you have questions, you can always email me, rebecca@performhappy.com. And thank you for being here. I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence,
and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.